Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson from NAMM, and I'm coming to you from the Grand Plaza at the 2017 NAMM Show. We are here with our Talking Up Music Education podcast, interviewing wonderful friends, new friends and old of NAMM who are visiting with us here at the NAMM Show. And I'm delighted to introduce and have with me here Bill Pelto. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks so much.
Bill is currently the dean at Appalachian State, but he's on his way to another new exciting national gig, the executive director of College Music Society. So welcome, Bill. It's so great to have you at the NAMM Show.
Thank you. It is great to be here.
Tell us about Appalachian State and the deanship that you're currently finishing up and how long you've been there and what the program there is like.
Sure. Well, Appalachian is a remarkable institution. I mean, you know, people will ask, where is it? It's up in the mountains of North Carolina. We're at 3,300 feet. So you can imagine it. When it was created as a teacher's college, grew gradually over the years, over a little over a century. And of course, its first music program, you can well imagine, was in music education. And that continues to be our not strongest necessarily, but largest program there. We've got about 500 music students.
Wow.
A faculty of 43, another part-time faculty of 25. So it's a large music program. We are one of the 15 largest public bachelor's and master's schools of music in the country. And we're in Boone, North Carolina, up in the middle of the Appalachians.
It must be beautiful.
It is gorgeous. Oh, yeah. We walk out.
And it's a very well-known campus and a very well-known music education program.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We're very, very proud of all of our programs. We have music education. Our second largest program is music industry studies. So that's why NAMM is such an important part for us. We have programs in including music products. We have a concentration in music merchandising. And so many of our students are involved directly with the sorts of things that happen here at NAMM. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got introduced to NAMM, of course, was through that. I arrived on our campus in 2009. That's right. I'm in my eighth year there as dean, and immediately started to learn about the music industry program because that was not an area of familiarity for me, but I was fascinated with it and knowing how strong it was already. Talking with our coordinator Kim Wangler, who's a good friend at NAMM, of course, and her interests in growing the program, growing in terms of quality especially, and so that's that. Then in my second year in 2009 or 10-11, she said you should go to the NAMM Show.
So you were with us then.
Right? I was. Yeah. I was there. I think that was one of the first years of GenNext.
That was the launch of GenNext, yeah, official collaboration.
I think that's right. Yeah. And it was just a mind-expanding experience for me.
And now you're
yeah.
back. I'm so glad to have you back.
Thank you.
So before you were dean then, what other things have you done in your career?
Sure. Let's see. Going backwards, I spent 18 years at the Ithaca College School of Music in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Up in the Finger Lakes.
Up in another beautiful part of the world.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. I was 9 years on the music theory faculty. That's my academic specialty. And then the last 9 years as associate dean there in the School of Music. So I gained some administrative experience and interest. I also served as an American Council on Education fellow during the 2004-05 academic year. And that's a program that brings a cohort of about 35 people from across the U.S. from various disciplines, all disciplines, not just music. And about higher education and preparing people for kind of next steps in administration. And that really fired my interest to
So
to
you
move
gave
on.
Up the snow belt for beautiful Boone, North Carolina.
Yeah, Boone has real winter.
Right?
Yeah, Boone has a real four-season climate. My first year there, we had 83 inches of snow.
Wow.
So that's, for most people, that'd be
but
a real
But it doesn't
serious
have
winter.
Lake effect.
Not lake effect. Right. That's right. Yeah, not like upstate New York.
I went to school, graduate school in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
So I once you've lived through lake effect.
And Ithaca has nothing like Buffalo does.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Those folks.
And your instrument, a pianist?
Piano. Yeah. Started
in
as
theory.
A seven-year-old taking piano lessons, fascinated by neighbor's piano. I was one of those kids who knocked on the door to say, could I play your piano? And then begged my parents to get one. And then that kind of led
when
here.
You know, we know, right?
Yeah,
when
right,
you know.
Right,
so
exactly.
In terms of your music theory, would we call you a Shankarian theorist?
Well, I've studied.
Aren't you impressed?
I am, really. That's good. That's good. You know,
just a quick aside. I'm sorry, podcast listeners. But I really did enjoy when I took the Shankarian music theory, I felt I really understood music theory.
Yeah, it's a fantastic way to.
I knew the pieces. I could dissect composition by its, you know, by its measured and its pieces. But when I could finally put it together in terms of a form, boy, did it make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a great theoretical model to connect counterpoint to form.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, it continues to be very, very important.
Were you one of those then?
That's not what I did most of my studies in, but certainly I took the classes and
it inspired you.
It certainly informs the way I think about music.
So anyone that wants to know more about Shankarian theory, they should just go to Wikipedia. I mean, we need to send people somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Right? So that's a good place. I'll put in a plug for my late brother-in-law, Steve Larson, who was very active in the College Music Society, of course. And Steve's dissertation was on Shankarian theory and jazz.
Oh, wow.
And did remarkable studies of piano compositions by Thelonious Monk performances by Monk and Bill Evans and others.
Well, I'm really grateful that you mentioned that. And where can we find his work?
It's an unpublished dissertation, but it is available through the typical dissertation services.
Like SAG.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. So,
well, that's, and his name again?
Steve Larson.
Steve Larson.
Yeah, I always want to cite Steve. He's one of the reasons I belong to the College Music Society.
Fantastic.
And so we miss him. We lost him in 2011.
I'm sorry.
And again,
we don't normally talk about Shankarian music theory. I'm talking about music education, but the fact that we just did, I think, is really cool.
Well,
so thank
good.
You.
That's
thank
good.
You. I'm really glad we did.
Venturing into new areas,
it
right?
means that we are relevant to many audiences. So,
sure.
Give us credit for that.
That's,
so we're happy
that's
for
good.
That. So tell us more about College Music Society, CMS.
Sure. Yeah. College Music Society is a national and international organization of about 7,000 members. They're primarily connected directly with university and college music programs, primarily faculty, but also administrators and students, increasing number of students involved in it. It is an organization about music that draws from every subdiscipline of music, anything you can imagine in a college music program. So that would be music historians, music theorists, composers, performers of all kinds, the music education, history, ethnomusicology, increasing, of course, in music business and in the industry, our direct connection with NAMM, starting to have more conversations about music therapy and music theater and all ethnic musics and community music. And so it is an organization where it's not about a specific disciplinary approach, but a way to bring musicians from all of those walks of musical life together.
Mm-hmm. And it's there, the teachers in the higher ed, their professional community.
Yeah,
it's a way to come to get professional development, attend conferences, you know, be the network of where to publish next.
That's right. We have opportunities to publish, opportunities to present. We serve as a means for university programs to advertise their searches for new faculty members. Mm-hmm. We're starting to provide opportunities for both assistantships and internships to be advertised as well. So it's a real clearinghouse in some ways for academic music activity, and very, very focused on faculty development.
We are really very, very grateful that we were able to forge a connection with College Music Society through our Generation Next program.
Yeah.
So we have to mention, too, that someone really was very smart when they nailed down your URL, which is music.org. Everybody would want to have music.org, but you guys got to it first.
We got it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so that dates back, you can imagine, that was very, very early. I don't know the exact details. Robbie Gunstream, who has served as executive director for 33 years of the organization.
And was very instrumental in our connection with NAMM.
Of course, terrific. Yeah. But Robbie does
shout
tell
out to
the story.
Robbie.
Yeah.
Shout out to Robbie.
Yeah, maybe Robbie's listening. So,
right. That and Shankarian, Robbie, go look that up. I know he's laughing. I know he's laughing at us now, but that's good. So yes, it's a wonderful, honestly, we couldn't really build the credibility that we hoped for with our Generation Next program without aligning with College Music Society.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we could offer courses for college music students, but why?
Right.
If it didn't relate to the ongoing curriculum, or if a faculty member said, yes, I want to bring students to NAMM because there's a level of experience there. The trade show, yes, we has its own magnetic pull. We know that. But then we wanted to provide conference sessions that would help students understand their steps to their careers
mm-hmm.
and their career options. So to organize those without a college faculty just made no sense to us. So we have a program committee that helps us organize mm-hmm. it. You have an application process that vets the sessions, that posts the sessions. It's just been so important to us. So we hope that can really continue.
I think it's a natural collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at the missions of the two organizations, there it is a real intersection of the two, and in so many ways. I'm interested to see now that we're in the Gen Next is what this is its sixth year.
I think six. I said, I'm really bad with dates, but
what I'm hearing conversations with people make me believe that we're also it's starting to inform the college programs themselves. So there's an interesting. Not reversal, but a combination of directions of the conversation.
And isn't that what we want it to be?
Of course, yeah.
We have a big audacious goal for this program.
Hmm.
And I'm not embarrassed to state it. It is a pretty weird, it's a pretty big goal, is that every college music student in their 4 years, you maybe could say 6 years if they're a master's, mm-hmm. but in their 4 years that they can't really perceive of getting a degree in music without at least taking one trip to the NAMM show. You think if there's 30,000 music majors mm-hmm, in America every mm-hmm. year, 1/4 of them would be here with us annually. Now, we can take care of them. We will accommodate them. We can put more walls in our conference sessions because we feel that it's that important. For that connection, we need that energy here
mm-hmm.
because that energy of the future innovations, the future of where the technology will go next, the future of the streaming and the recording and the music education materials, that input is needed. And then we also really want to support those individuals in their life choices for careers.
Right.
And it's really, we want to give here. Yes, we know that we will gain, but I guess I'm just sharing that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if in 10 years, 15 years, that tradition was kind of established on campus, which group will go this year? Is it mm-hmm. sophomores? It was mm-hmm. all the juniors, or half the sophomores, half the juniors, that they work it into a plan for a curriculum that is just part of what needs to be known.
Right. Well, it's a huge goal, of course.
It's a huge goal. Yeah. Well, why not?
Name the student who wouldn't benefit from the experience here. Right. Even if they've got a career path that is about being a professional music that is not directly related to the, well, not specifically related to the industry in terms of products and the like, but everyone uses the materials that are presented.
Or we'll
here.
Have a student that needs to have the awareness of the product because this is what their students are coming through the door with.
That's right.
And that's why our music educators are joining us now because they're experiencing a student proficiency that they weren't trained for.
Sure.
So they need to come and interact to keep that proficiency moving.
Right.
So.
They will define what the next generation product needs to be.
So you heard it from me directly.
I did.
You didn't hear it via a rumor. Okay. I told you directly what I thought we should, and will it be achieved? Who knows? But we would like to be seen as a resource for that experience.
Mm-hmm. Do we know how many students are here this year?
The last count was 1,800.
1,800. That's a good
number.
So
that's a wonderful number.
Yeah.
And we've tracked it every year. So in every year it has gone up, and mm-hmm. I think we are up again by 1 or 2 percentage points this year. To be relevant is the goal. If we aren't relevant, we're never going to mm-hmm. we won't keep growing. And we only know if we're relevant because of the advice that we receive from you and our program committee and the other College Music Society faculty members that are here. So that work is ongoing.
Yes.
How do we, and ultimately we want to support that young person that wants a life in music,
right,
and can have a sustainable life and pay back college loans and have a job and gig and write songs and, you know, get up on a stage and
be joyful musicians.
Certainly
the students I've seen so far today are really engaged in what's going on, asking questions, leaning forward in their chairs when they hear presentations. And
well, and that's a music student too now, don't you know?
Yeah, of course, that's what we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your goals for CMS? In your new gig?
Yeah, that's the question. I'm in an interim position right now. They call me interim executive director slash consultant.
Aren't you lucky?
That's good. So it means my charge right now is to learn.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying. You're lucky.
I'm really lucky to have this opportunity. So setting goals, it is about, I think for me, this learning process, the essential function is to look at the activities that we do, the programs that we have, connect those in my mind to an understanding of our core mission and how those really, really relate to each other, and gain an understanding of all the component parts and how they fit and how they resonate with what our mission is. So that's really what I'm about right now. And
you're sifting and sorting.
I am. I don't have a particular agenda. For one thing, I think we're a program that is really very effective. There's so many great things happening with the College Music Society, including this. I mean, it's clear to me this collaboration will continue because of the strength that it's already shown and the potentials for it. How we do that, the specifics of what we do, that then is about a process that will take a number of years.
It ends up how you allocate resources, mm-hmm. right? How you mm-hmm. allocate, and you need executive director to guide that.
Right.
And
right.
the board will always have ideas, but then, you know, how do you channel?
Mm-hmm.
What are the opportunities and what need to get done?
That's right. I understand the board wants my proposals, my ideas, and also then I'm a sounding board from them. And so I hope it will be a two-way conversation.
You know, over time at NAMM, we've struggled with all the opportunities of things that we can do versus all the things that we can do well
mm-hmm.
and do as only as NAMM can do.
Yeah.
And we have a few crucibles that we kind of things have to pass through, you know, in terms of what is unique, what is the unique only at NAMM connection.
Right.
And that's what we hit on too with the Gen Next program. You know, we had the show, we had the nexus of people that are here and the opportunities, the building of the career of the life in music. But it can be, you can get overwhelmed pretty quickly in making those choices. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful mm-hmm. that you can come in with a fresh look.
I'm thrilled to have this opportunity.
It's really, really
absolutely
great.
So.
You know, early to the new scene, but what do you see any new opportunities in working with the music industry? I mean, is there anything,
I've had a recent conversation just today talking about College Music Society and our committee that's involved with careers and looking at making sure that we have a clear sense of what the goals for that committee are in terms of providing information, disseminating information, advocating outreach, and I think there's a role to be played between really creating concrete goals. I think we've probably had a lot of conversation, and it's about what do we want to do on a kind of operational level with those to communicate, say, to those music programs where students don't realize the potential. I think there are a lot out there who students think there are only a couple of different things they can do with music. I think that's still true, that there are music students who think they can only teach or perform and that's it. And there are so many more things that we can do in the music industry. And I think there's a role for NAMM and College Music Society to play in that understanding.
Well, I'll say put me in, coach.
Yeah.
You know that when we were together in Santa Fe, I forgot what month it was, October for the mm-hmm. conference.
End of October,
The national conference. And this is a, you know, building a greater awareness for all the options for a career in music mm-hmm. is, I think we can address that and be helpful to each other about that. I think high school guidance counselors need this information in their hands. I think parents, you know, that we need to, we have to work at debunking the myth that, oh no, my kid's going to be a music major, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and so, and I'm going to, he's going to be home. He's going to be living in the basement forever and doing gigs on the weekend. I said, no. There's terrific life-sustaining opportunities here.
For people who are delighted and thrilled in their lives. That's what I've learned.
And we have to kind of stand up for them and be a voice for them as well. So we're very eager to work on that mm-hmm. and be a part of that. And it might need to be based on some good solid research and all the things that we know.
Of course, we want to do that. Yes, yeah. For sure.
So in wrapping up, finally, what are your impressions of NIM, not having been here for 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah, right. I haven't even been into the exhibit hall
yet. Oh, dear.
You haven't made it yet. I'm going to get in there. I was at some presentations today so far.
You're at the Gen Next presentation.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's doing those first, but then I'll get onto the floor. I've got a few alums from Appalachian who I want to connect with who are in there, and that will be always really great. And I will share the experience I had 6 years ago, that first time I mentioned this to students this morning, that I walked into the hockey arena and thought, wow, this really is a big event, and then realized that was just the Roland Corporation.
It was just a
tip of the iceberg. But, you know, it can be overwhelming.
Yes.
And I think what I've learned, this is a place where you see people's passions really, really come out. Yeah. They're caring about what they do, believing in the service they provide for the world. I always say to parents when we audition students at Appalachian that we believe we make the world a better place in what we do. And that sounds somewhat trite, maybe cliche, but I just believe it so firmly. And you meet people here in the business of music making, and you see that passion is really clean and clear in their lives.
People are excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're excited. And isn't that what we want, is to have a country, a nation, a world just full of excited people.
Yeah.
Nobody
here seems to do this because it's just a job.
No.
It's a calling, it's a passion, it's a life commitment.
Yeah. And there's a lot of folks that are riding on that passion too. I mean, mm-hmm. when there is that passion and intensity, you have a way of sort of pulling a lot of people with you.
Yeah.
Isn't that what a band groupie is?
Right.
It goes right back to the basics here. Well, Bill, we are so excited to welcome you to your new gig as the new executive director of College Music Society. We were so honored to know Robbie Gunstream and work with him mm-hmm. for all these years. You're following in wonderful, capable, and passionate footsteps. I've known your board presidents, and we are just really honored to work with College Music Society, I can't tell you. And we want to do whatever it takes to help you be successful and help the partnership continue to flourish. Because we share the belief that what we need is a world full of music makers. Mm-hmm. And we know the competency that your students, the students in your universities, colleges are carrying into the world is they have made a commitment to deep and rigorous study. And they are the people that will be guiding this future in this industry. So thank you.
Thanks, Mary. That's inspiring to me, so I appreciate that.
Thank you for your dedication, and we hope to see you every year. Maybe not in this booth. Maybe, you know, because I don't, you know, this is a wonderful place to be. But, you know, we'll have conversations in many, many places, I hope, in the next years.
I'm sure.
And you'll become a regular.
Count on it.
At music education.
For sure.
And then as you're growing into this wonderful responsibility, you share it with us as we go forward.
Great, great. Well, I look forward to that, Mary. Thank you
so
much.
Have a great NAMM show. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
And thanks to all of you for listening in from this live from the NAMM show podcast of Talking at Music Education with my very special guest, Bill Pelto, the Dean of Appalachian State in Boone, North Carolina, who's also a few months away from taking over full-time as the executive director of the College Music Society. We thank him for being here with us this year, for helping us lead the charge to make sure that all these college music students know that they're welcome into our industry and to their careers in music in the future. Thank you for tuning in, and please stay tuned to all our wonderful programs and episodes at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
The NAMM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAMM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.